2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going to continue our series here, and I appreciate many of you who are praying for me and my family as we were gone this past week. I was preaching a missions conference over in Madison, Indiana, and the Lord really blessed in the conference there, and I think the Lord was honored through the conference and excited about what the church is going to be doing for missions, and excited about the missionaries that were there as well. But it was just a privilege to be there. They put us, I don't know if you know, I didn't really know this about Madison, but Madison, Indiana is right on the river, right in the Ohio-Kentucky River. And a very cute little town right there, right on the river. Part of it is right on the river, and then they have Upper Madison, which is kind of up the cliffs a little bit. And so it's up Madison where the church is, but they put us down in the smaller part of town, right there on the river. And they told us, they gave us the address of where we're going to be staying. They said, there's a little Airbnb we've got for you, and here's the address. When I put in the address, it said, The Attic. I was like, did I put in the wrong address? I'm like, what is the attic, right? And when I pulled up the picture, it's a coffee shop. It's called The Attic Coffee Shop. I'm like, who stays in a coffee shop? I mean, I'm not opposed to staying in a coffee shop, but something's not right here. And so I contacted the guy and I said, hey, you know, this is the direction or the address you gave me is to a coffee shop. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. He says, there's an Airbnb above the coffee shop. So can you imagine a couple days above a coffee shop and just, you know, every morning the aroma of coffee just wafting through the place there. And so I told the church, I said, you know, Sunday, I said, I sure appreciate, you know, all of your hospitality and things. I said, normally when you have a guest speaker come in, you might put them up in a hotel or something like that. But this church has gone far beyond what anybody has ever done for us. They put us in the attic. Of the attic. And some of the folks, I don't think they knew that the attic was a coffee shop. They're like, what did we do? I was like, it's a coffee shop. It's a coffee shop. It was great. We loved it. It was amazing. My wife walked in and she said, can we just live here? I'm like, no, we can't. We have to leave. So, but it was great. So I appreciate you praying for us while we were gone. But so good to be back. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going to begin reading in verses 22 down to verse number 33. Now, again, it's so hard sometimes when we're going through a book like this because so much of it is of the scripture is tied together, but there's so much of it, you can't really get it all in one message. And so we kind of started looking at this a couple weeks ago in verse number 16. And really verses 16 all the way down through verses 33 kind of go together. But because there's just so much there, we couldn't get it all in one message. And so we're going to kind of finish what we kind of started earlier or a couple weeks ago. We kind of went from verses 16 down to verse number 21. And so we're going to begin in verse number 22, go down to verse number 33. I will reference back to the previous verses there a little bit just to make sure we're understanding where we're at. But notice what he says in verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In death, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city. By the way, perils is not pearls, okay? He's not talking about pearls. Perils means in danger, okay? Talking about the danger that he's been, right? In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, The governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desires to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Father, I pray that you would just work in the message this morning. Thank you so much for the testimony of the Nichols family and the message that he brought this morning in the Sunday school hour. And Lord, just the challenge, Lord, just to keep following you and keep looking to you. And so, Father, I pray that you would just bless, Lord, through the message now. I pray that you just speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, even the service tonight, I pray that we'd return and just be able to, again, hear from Brother Nichols about what you're doing in the country of Brazil and how we can just continue to pray for them and have a small part in that. But, Father, I pray that you just work right now in our hearts, draw us closer to you. And, Lord, as you speak to our hearts, may we be obedient to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Anybody, whenever you were kids, or maybe some of you still do it, if you have kids, anybody remember when you were kids playing cops and robbers? You ever play cops and robbers, right? Play cowboys and Indians, you know? So who's gonna be the cowboy? Who's gonna be the Indian? Who's gonna be the cop? Who's gonna be the robber, you know? Or maybe some of you ladies, you're like, no, we didn't do that. We played house. You know, I remember playing house, you know, setting up the little kitchenette and things. And you, if you remember back in those days, some of the teenagers were like, we play house now. Sorry, guys. It's unfortunate. But that's probably the only house some of you will play. Brother Charles was talking about how some of these guys are one day going to meet their mate and everything. And I leaned over to my wife and said, some of them. I have confidence in you guys. I really do. Right. But remember how, you know, we would play games, you know, and we would kind of, you know, if you were playing cowboys and Indians, maybe you had a cowboy hat and you had a cap gun and, you know, you'd try to practice the quick draw and be as fast as you could. And, you know, maybe if it was an Indian, maybe you had the headdress or you had a bow and arrow or cops and robbers, you know, the police officer, you have like a little police hat and a little gun and a badge, you know, and the little plastic handcuffs and the robbers, you know, you got to have a ski mask, right? You got to have the ski mask for the robber, you know, and you're a tough guy and, you know, I'm not really sure what you did with house and all that, but you know, you played those games, right? But here's the thing about it: it wasn't real, right? Well, it wasn't real. It was fake. It was like it was based upon imaginations, right? And praise God that God's given us imaginations. But we know in playing those things, it wasn't really real. We were just playing, right? This morning, I want to preach a message on playing Christianity. Playing Christianity. Because I want to be honest this morning, I truly believe that in many of our churches in our country and around the world, Christians are just playing at Christianity. And Paul speaks about that here. 2 weeks ago, we looked at how Paul addressed the spiritual manipulation and the signs of it in the churches, which again, he clearly shows in verse number 20. He talks about it in verse number 20. He says, for ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. And so he talks about the spiritual manipulation that happens, unfortunately, in many churches. And I've had to sit down with people and hear them talk about the spiritual manipulation and the spiritual abuse that has happened in churches. And may I say, that's unfortunate. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be at all. And Paul deals with that there, and he talks about even the previous verses. He talks about the devil in disguise and how the devil tries to present himself as an angel of light and his ministers as the ministers of righteousness, trying to bring deception into the churches. Again, he's not talking about the world. He's writing to the church. And he's talking about how the devil is trying to deceive and through these false teachers brings deception. And so Paul is trying to help them to see that they're being used by these false teachers instead of being served by them. But the real issue I think Paul was addressing was not that the Corinthian believers were being used by these people. The real issue that Paul is addressing is that the Corinthian believers were allowing this to happen. They were the ones allowing it. And that's why he says, for if ye suffer, he says, you're allowing these things to happen. He says, Corinthian church, look, you ought to know better. You know better than this. This is not what the scripture teaches. They were believing these false teachers. And so the Corinthian church was being led astray by the outward appearance. They sounded good, looked good. They had all the right things, but the doctrine was false. But there was another way that they were also being led astray, and Paul addresses it here in the remaining part of this passage. There's a false teaching in many churches around our country and around the world that says that God wants everyone to be rich and that nothing will ever go wrong in your life. God just wants you to enjoy life and everything's just gonna be smooth sailing. Friend, can I tell you, if you think that by coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you know the financial problems that you have are just gonna disappear because you met Jesus, or the family problems that you're going through, that once you come to Jesus, that he's just gonna make all those things disappear and everything's just gonna be hunky-dory. Let me tell you something, that's not the gospel of the Bible. Now, can he help you with those things? Absolutely. Can the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God help you through marriage problems? Yes, no doubt about it. Can he help you with financial problems? Yes, absolutely, right? But we don't come to Jesus just to get an easy road. And unfortunately, that's a gospel that is being taught, right? If you just come to Jesus, you'll just, you know, man, you want everything to go good in life, right? You want that next promotion. You want that good health. You want that good report from the doctor. You want all these things to be good. Well, just give your life to Jesus and everything's gonna be good. But here's what's unfortunate about that, is many times people listen to what is being said, and they say, well, hey, well, I want that. So they come to Jesus. The problem is, again, it's not our Jesus that they're coming to. But they come to a Jesus thinking that all of their things are gonna be great now, all of life is gonna be wonderful, and then they wonder why 3 weeks and a month and 6 months and a year after they've come to Jesus that things aren't going well. And then they start thinking, well, maybe this Jesus thing isn't really all that it's cracked up to be. And so what do we find? We find many of them even turning away from the church, turning away from the gospel, turning away from Jesus. But friend, here's the problem. They never knew Jesus. They never knew the Jesus of the Bible. They're looking for a Jesus just to make everything, can I say they're looking for a genie. You know, a genie. Hey, grant me 3 wishes, make everything better. Make all my life better. Take all the problems away. Look, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. And this is what Paul is going to be addressing here, because this is what was being taught. These false teachers were teaching that God is just going to make everything easy. And this passage shows us what true Christian service is going to look like. Look, it's not always going to be easy. It's not going to be ease and applause and recognition. You know what? There's gonna be endurance. You're gonna have to endure. You're gonna have to be patient. You're gonna have to be humble and have humility. There's gonna have to be faithfulness through trials. Look, I guarantee you, if you come back tonight and you listen to what Brother Nichols says, I guarantee you, they've gone through difficulties in Brazil. They didn't just surrender to God and say, all right, God, we're gonna be missionaries, and everything just was great. Now, God has used them, and he's gonna talk about that, but I guarantee you, he can go back and talk about trials and difficulties and heartaches that have happened in the ministry. It's not just gonna be easy. And we have this idea in America that if things aren't easy, then we don't wanna have anything to do with it. Can I say kindly and softly that we've become soft? We've become soft in America. We want it, you know, just how we want Christianity to be. And like I said, what I'm so afraid of is that in so many of our churches, so many Christians are just playing Christianity. We're just playing Christianity. As long as everything's great, well, we'll follow God. As long as he does what I want him to do, as long as he meets my needs, when I say, how I say, come on, genie, well, we'll follow God. But as soon as he doesn't, as soon as he stops meeting my needs when I say they should be met, when he doesn't do what I want him to do, when the doctor comes back with a report that I don't want to hear, or I lose my job or whatever happens, what happens? We just quit on God. You see, because Christianity wasn't really real to us. It wasn't really real. We're just playing. We're just playing that cops and robbers. It's not really real. As Paul talks about this, I want you to notice a couple things, because Paul begins matching the false teachers basically kind of on their own ground here. Notice he says in verse 22, are they Hebrews? Are they Jews? Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Right? Paul's saying, wait a minute, we're kind of on the same ground here nationally with our nationality, with our heritage, with our religion, right? He's talking about these things. Hey, I was a Hebrew. I was an Israelite. I'm of the seed of Abraham. He said, I'm all these things too. But then notice he surpasses them by boasting not in status, but notice in service. He said, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. I am more. Now again, please understand, Paul's not trying to lift himself up here, but he's saying, look, if this is the game you want to play, I'll play the game with you. You think that this is what it really is, it's all about. He said, I'll play the game with you here. He says, I can match them, everything that they have said, and more. And more. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I am more. You see, the true mark of a servant is not what he has, but what he does for Christ. What is he willing to do for Christ? Not what does the person have, but what are they doing for Christ? Because many today will boast in their titles and their education and their platform, and I've got this PhD and I've got this doctorate and I've got this many followers, and so because I've got all these things, you should listen to me. Wait a minute. May I say this morning, God values faithfulness over fame. He desires for us to be faithful, and may I say, he desires character over credentials. Who cares, can I say? And I'm not, please understand, I'm not putting down somebody who's got a doctorate or a PhD or a master's or anything like that. I'm not putting down those things. But if that's what we're looking for, thinking that's what spirituality is all about, we've misjudged it, because it's not about those things, it's about Jesus. And so Paul, he goes through some things here. Notice he shows us, first of all, the cost of service. The cost of service. Notice again in verse number 23, he says, in laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. You understand what that means? In other words, he's just floating in the ocean. He's just floating, hoping that he's going to survive, hoping that somebody's going to pick him up. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Boy, it sounds like smooth sailing for Paul, doesn't it? Everything's just going hunky-dory. Man, Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and God said, hey, Paul, I'm going to use you, and everything's just going to be great from here on out. Just follow me and serve me, and no, you're going to have no worries, no problems. No. There is a cost when we serve the Lord. There's a cost of serving and following Jesus. We were just reading yesterday and today in our Bible reading program. Think about what he says in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16. He says, do you understand that the world will hate you? Oh, that really sounds like everything's going to be great, doesn't it? Jesus says, the world will hate you. Well, why? Because they hate me. That's what Jesus said. The reason why the world is going to hate you, the reason why the world is going to persecute you, the reason why the world's going to turn against you is because they hate Jesus. And if you're living for Jesus and if you're following Jesus, guess what? There's going to be some bumps along the way. There's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some afflictions. And Paul gives, really, we could say, this is a breathtaking list of what he endured for the sake of Christ. Physical suffering, think about it. In prisons, in stripes, above measure, being beaten. Beaten five times. He says, I received 40 stripes, save one. Not just one time being flogged, five times he was flogged. Three times he says, I was beaten with rods. I mean, you think about all the things that he went through, the physical suffering, the persecution from all sides, Jews, Gentiles, the people he was trying to reach, the people that he loved, they were persecuting him, robbers, false brethren. Again, he says five times he was beaten by the Jews, three times with rods. He says, once I was stoned and left for dead. He goes to the city of Iconium. He goes in there and preaches the gospel. They take him outside the city and they stone him and they leave him for dead. Everybody thinks he's dead. He gets back up and guess what he does? He goes right back into the city of Iconium, preaches the gospel again. He says, look, if we're truly going to be Christians, if we're truly going to follow Christ, and friend, understand, the word Christian means a follower of Jesus Christ. It means to be like Christ. We're playing Christianity thinking, hey, if there's gonna be a cost to it, then I really don't want anything to do with it. Then you don't wanna follow Christ. Because there will be a cost to it. Now, I'm very thankful that we live in a country where we have the freedom to come and worship, that we have the freedom to meet and assemble and sing, and we don't have to worry about being arrested or anything like that. But friend, there's coming a day when that's not gonna happen. There's coming a day when this country's not gonna be enjoy the freedoms that we have. Like many countries around the world today. We still gonna follow him? Or as soon as it starts getting difficult, we're gonna be like, oh, I'm out. You understand there's a cost of serving. The natural dangers he talks about here, in journeys and perils of waters and perils of robbers and countrymen and heathen and in the city and in the wilderness and in the sea and among false brethren, all these dangers and stuff that he went through. Personal hardships and hunger and weariness and painfulness and watchings often. In other words, watching means he basically had to sleep with one eye open because of the danger that was always constantly surrounding him and people that were trying to kill him and trying to hurt him. Watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fasting often, and cold and nakedness. The personal hardships that he went through, the hunger and the thirst, the sleepless nights, the cold, the exposure. Can I say that we as Christians in America, we really don't understand what it means that there's a cost in following Jesus. Now, I understand some people may have a little bit more difficult. I understand with family situations and job situations and things like this, but I don't know of anyone that is running for their life, fearing that someone is gonna take their life. I don't know of anyone here that is afraid that we're gonna be put in jail or that we're gonna be beaten or stoned to death. We don't have that fear. So I think because we have an easier road, many times it's so much easier to play Christianity because we're not really willing to count the cost. You see, real ministry is not measured by comfort. It's measured by commitment. Am I committed to following Jesus? Am I committed to following him no matter what the cost? I want to read you a story. I just received an email update from Brother Michael, and I thought, boy, this just really fits in with the message this morning. I'm just going to read it. And again, some of the words may be a little bit different because it's being translated into English. But this is from a man by the name of Okwade Charles. He's 45 years of age. And this is what he says. Glory and honor be to the Almighty God for his saving grace and mercy upon my life. I am Okwade Charles, 45 years from Rumagi Village. I know that doesn't really mean anything to you, but it's in the eastern part of Uganda. He said, I'm a former Catholic priest who once served faithfully, or so I thought, in the Roman Catholic Church under the Archdiocese of Tororo. He said, for many years, I was fully devoted to the traditions and doctrines of the church and at St. Pius Seminary in Nagongera, where I served as teacher, training young men for the priesthood. So this is not just a Catholic priest. This is a man who's actually training others to become priests. He says, later I was appointed parish priest of Quapa Catholic Church, a position I held with pride and deep commitment. He said, however, behind the robes and rituals, I was a man in turmoil. Though I carried out all the religious duties, deep down in my heart, I felt an emptiness, a lack of peace, and a constant struggle with guilt and hypocrisy. You see, I had a wife and children, something that clearly went against the Catholic rule of celibacy. Yet because there was no one to replace me at the time, I was not told to step down. And so he said, I lived in fear and shame and a double life, one life before people and another known only to God. He said, as time went on, I began to see things that troubled my spirit deeply. Within the church and seminary where I served, he says, I witnessed ungodly practices that contradicted the very word that we claim to represent, drunkenness and immorality, selfishness, corruption, and pretense of holiness. Everything looked good on the outside, but inside there was spiritual decay and darkness. He said, while still teaching in the seminary, this is where it gets really good. You ready for this? While still teaching in seminary, I often heard of a radio station called Truth Radio, which among the clergy and elders was strictly prohibited. I didn't know they prohibited our radio station. We were told never to listen to it, that it was misleading and dangerous. As a teacher at a seminary school, I gathered the courage one evening in early 2021, 4 years ago, and turned in, and this act became the beginning of my journey to freedom. The messages I heard were unlike anything I'd ever encountered. The teachers and preachers on Truth Radio spoke directly from the scriptures, not from man-made traditions. They exposed falsehood, hypocrisy, and the emptiness of religion without true salvation. Their teachings pierced my heart and opened my eyes to the truth of God's word. I realized that despite all of my years in ministry, I did not truly know Jesus Christ. As I continued listening, I was torn between what I was hearing and the life that I was living. Most sermons felt like a mirror being held before me, showing me my sin, my pride, and the emptiness of my religion. I wrestled with conviction, but the word of God kept speaking louder than my fears. During the March of 2025, he's been listening for 4 years. In March of 2025, right there in our grass-thatched kitchen, I knelt down before God and confessed my sins and surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I accepted him not as a distant religious figure, but as my Lord and my Savior, the one who forgives, restores, and gives new life. The peace I had sought for years in the rituals and positions I finally found in a personal relationship with Christ. On the 14th of March, after months of deep reflection and prayer, after moments of deep reflection and prayer, I made another life-changing decision. I resigned from the Catholic priesthood. I walked away from everything I had built for over 2 decades. Many called me a traitor. Others mocked and condemned me. But in my heart, I knew that I had finally found the truth that sets men free. Today, I'm a born again, living a simple and joyful life with my family. My home is now filled with prayer, peace, and purpose. The same Truth Radio that once was forbidden is our daily source of spiritual nourishment and encouragement. I thank God for using Truth Radio to reach even those who thought they already knew him. I thank the faithful men and women who teach the word of God without compromise. Through them, I found the gospel of truth. And through that gospel, I found Jesus Christ. To God be all the glory, honor, and praise forever. Here's a man that finally understood that he needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing when he put his faith in Christ, it was going to cost him something. He'd been setting up his life for over 20 years. He said, I was willing to walk away from it all. for Jesus. For Jesus. He didn't walk away from it for Truth Radio. He didn't walk away from it for a church. He walked away from it all because of what Jesus did in his life. I would like to ask you to pray for a young man in the same newsletter that Michael sent me. There's a young Muslim man I'm gonna ask you to pray for. I'm not gonna mention his name on live stream because his father is a very high Islamic leader in the eastern part of Uganda. His father is actually a Qadi. A Qadi is a judge that administers justice according to Sharia law. So this is not just a Muslim man. This is a man that is very high ranking in Islam. But this young man said about a year ago, someone told him about Truth Radio and he started listening to it just out of curiosity. And now he listens all the time, but he has to hide it because he cannot let anyone know that he's listening to it. And this past month, he contacted our guys. He'd been listening for over a year. Contacted our guys. He's gonna meet with them this Tuesday. This Tuesday, 2 days from now, he's gonna meet with them. We're praying that this man will put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I can tell you this, he knows there's a cost. He knows there's a cost. You see, friend, when we come to Jesus Christ, we don't want to hear about a cost. We want to hear that everything's just going to be great. We want to hear that everything's going to be smooth and there's not going to be no problems and Jesus is going to take care of all my needs. He's going to answer all my prayers the way I want them to. Friend, if we're going to just play Christianity, it's not going to work. We've got to understand that there is a cost. There's a cost. We're so afraid to talk about Jesus because we're afraid that somebody might slam a door in our face. We're afraid to talk about Jesus because we're afraid somebody might get offended and they might cuss us out. Would we be willing to leave everything? Would we be willing to quit our job to follow Jesus? Would we be willing to turn against family to follow Jesus? See, I'm afraid we're just playing Christianity. We're not willing to count the cost for Jesus Christ. But may I say, secondly, not only do you see the cost for Christ, but there, Paul talks about the care of the churches. In verse number 28 and 29, he says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, really, if you want to know what really burdens me more than all of these physical things that I've gone through, he said, the thing that really burdens me more is the churches. He says, the care of the churches, all these churches that he had helped start. And I gotta tell you, every time he writes about a church, he said, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I want you to know I'm praying for you. You greet this person, you greet that person. You tell them I'm praying for them. You know why? Paul was burdened for the church. He was burdened for these people that had come to know Christ as their savior. And he says, yes, I understand there's gonna be a cost. And the devil's gonna try to make you think there is no cost and you can just live easy and don't do anything for God. He says, the burden of the churches. It's not just one man's burden that he's having to carry. He's carrying the burden of all those churches and all the people that he knows. Can I tell you, I don't know. I've never been in really any other position other than a pastor, but I don't know if there is another position in life where there's such a burden because you care about the people in your church. And you see many times the heartache that they go through and the burdens that they go through, and you want to help them, but you know they've got to. They've got to just turn to Christ. You can't do it, only he can. He's the one that's able to help them through it. I tell you, you pray for your people. Ask God to watch over them and to protect them. You pray for these young people, and I know I joke around with the young people, but I'm so thankful for these guys. I'm so thankful for these young ladies. They have a heart to serve. They want to be used by God in any way possible. He said, even those physical things are nothing compared to the spiritual weight that is upon a pastor because he cares for his people. He hurts when they hurt. He rejoices when they rejoice. Paul says, of all those things, beside all those things, I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if I can say beside all those things. Paul just kind of like glances over them. Beside those things, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The spiritual weight of caring for the churches. He says, who is weak and am I not weak? Every struggle in the church affected Paul personally. He carried the people of God in his heart. He loved them and he wanted to see God use them. He wanted to see God bless them. Look, when you see these letters that he's writing, yes, sometimes there's correction there, but Paul is correcting them because he knows that if they would just be willing and surrender to God, God can use them in a special way. And we need more Christians who are willing to stop playing Christianity, to stop just playing games and say, hey, I'm just gonna be sold out for God. I'm just gonna live my life the way God wants me to live it. I'm gonna stop playing games. And I'm gonna just serve God. It doesn't matter where you're at. Brother Charles, Brother Nichols talked about it this morning. It doesn't matter if you're a welder, it doesn't matter if you're a builder, it doesn't matter if you're in a factory, it doesn't matter if you're a preacher. Just serve God where God has placed you. Recognize the position that God has put you in is the place that he wants you to serve him. You say, well, I'm not the pastor. You don't have to be the pastor to serve him. Right where God has placed you, you serve him. Stop playing. Stop playing Christianity and be the Christian that God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do. Notice the third thing we find here, the character of a true servant. He says in verse number 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. After listing all these different things, he says, if I must glory, I'm gonna glory the things which concern my infirmities. He says, I'm not gonna boast about anything, but if I do, I'll boast about my weakness. How many of you like to boast about your weakness? Nobody likes to boast about their weakness. We like to boast about our strengths. We'll boast about our weakness. Paul says, if I'm gonna boast about anything, I'm gonna boast in my weakness. Why would he say that? Why would he boast in his weakness? Why would he say, if I must needs glory, I would glory the things which concern my infirmities? Now, we're gonna look more about this as we get into chapter 12. But even he recalls, can I say, I would think, kind of a humiliating experience that we find in verse number 32 and 33. He says, in Damascus, here's the great apostle Paul, and yet people are after him, and he's having to be let down in a basket. He's having to be let down in a basket over the wall. Because they were trying to kill him. I mean, this is the great apostle Paul. I wonder how humiliating that must have been for him, because he reiterates it here. He talks about it. And may I say this evening, what Paul was looking for was not to be lifted up. He's not saying all of these things to say, hey, look at the suffering I've gone through. Look how difficult life has been for me. Feel bad for me. It's not what he's doing. You know what he's doing? He's trying to point everybody back to Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about serving him. And that's why he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. He said, this isn't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. Can I say, what the world sees as weakness, God sees as valuable. God's power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul learned that his greatest victories would come not through his strength, but when he had no strength of his own. When he had no strength of his own, that's when God was able to fill him through the strength that God could give him through Christ. And that's when he was able to do something for God. Look, God's not looking for strong people. So many of us, we just think we've got all the answers. He's not looking for strong people. He's looking for surrendered people. People that just look to God and say, God, I don't know, but I'm here. I had a conversation with one of our college students this week, and he said, Pastor, would you pray about this? He said, I don't know if it's the direction that God wants me to go, but he said, if that's what God wants, I'm willing. Just pray with me about it. You know what? He surrendered. He surrendered just to do whatever God wants him to do. Doesn't mean that that's exactly what God's gonna have him do, but he just says, I just want God to know I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do. Are we surrendered to God? If you feel weak, feel like you're overlooked, feel inadequate, and I tell you, you're the exact person that God's looking for. You're who God's looking for. Because those are the ones that God says, I can use them. Those that are full, so full of self and so full of pride and arrogant and, hey, I got it all figured out. God says, sorry, I can't use you. There's no room for me. No room for me. But when we will empty ourselves of self, we'll recognize that we are nothing before God. We'll understand that Jesus Christ was willing to give his life on the cross for our sins. There is nothing, nothing too good for us to do for him. Nothing that we should not be willing to say, Lord, hey, I'm willing to follow you no matter what the cost is. Some of us are so concerned about the cost. We just want it to be easy. We just want it to be smooth sailing. We don't want any bumps in the road. We want life to just be hunky-dory. Look, friend, can I tell you, you're gonna have all eternity for it to be easy. Amen. If you're saved, you're gonna have all eternity for it to be easy. In fact, Paul even talks about it. He says, hey, that the afflictions and the things that we suffer here on this earth are nothing compared to the weight of glory that we have waiting for us. Nothing. And that's why you have men like Paul that are willing to sacrifice. So we have a man that just got saved. And a week later understands, hey, there's a cost to this. I'm gonna have to step down. I can't do this. And I know the cost. And yet he says, I have no greater peace. We don't have all the things that we had before, but we have Jesus. And that's enough. There's a cost. Are we just gonna play Christianity? Are we gonna really sell out for God? Don't be afraid to suffer for the one who suffered for you and me. Let's be faithful even when it costs something. And let's remember that the true measure of ministry is not how much we gain, but what we give for the glory of Christ. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, can I tell you this morning, if you're saved today, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's time to quit playing Christianity. Quit playing Christianity. Be the Christian that God wants you to be. Be the Christian that God wants to use to bring glory and honor to him. May I say, when we look at Paul's life and what he went through, I wonder how many of us would be willing to admit and say, you know what? I'm just playing games. I'm just playing games. It's not really real. Oh, I know Jesus is my Savior, but I'm just playing. Maybe this morning it's time for you to come and say, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to sell out for you. I'm tired of playing games. I want to truly live for Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, we'd love to take the Word of God, show you how you can be saved. The heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're just gonna stand quietly this morning. The piano's just gonna begin playing softly. Friend, maybe God's spoken to your heart about something this morning. Maybe you need to come and pray at the altar. Maybe right there in your seat. When are we gonna stop playing Christianity? Stop being so concerned about things that maybe we need to give up. The cost that it's gonna we're gonna have to endure, and realize Jesus was willing to endure the greatest cost for you and me, greater than anything that you and I could even imagine, he was willing to endure. Friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest decision you can ever make is not just being religious, not just performing religious rituals like this Catholic man was, not just knowing about Jesus, but having a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm really not. I'm uncertain. Friend, we would love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved and how you can be absolutely certain. If you're a man, we'll have a man talk with you. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk with you. If you step out and come down right now, I'll meet you right here in front. We'll have someone talk with you. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day. If you'd like, afterwards, I'll be in the lobby. We can make an appointment sometime throughout the week, and I'd love to sit down with you and share Jesus with you. Know how you can be saved. Christian, we got to stop playing games. There is a cost. I don't know what that cost would be for you. I'm not going to say you're going to be beaten like Paul was. I'm not going to say you're going to be in prison like Paul was. We're not even willing to pay any cost. We just want it easy. I'm going to say, when we want it easy, we're not going to do anything for Jesus. Are we willing to count the cost? Stop playing Christianity. Be the Christian that God wants you to be. Like Him. You can have everybody fooled on the outside, but you know what's on the inside.